righteousness of Christ he was singing about. When the Lord looks at us, those who are saved, he sees us through the prism of the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was imputed to us when we trusted him as Savior. And praise the Lord for that. Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll pick up here where we left off last time. We have worked our way over to where we are, going verse by verse from chapter 1 and verse 1, over to where we will be tonight, Hebrews chapter 11, and tonight verses 30 and 31. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. And so we'll look at these two verses tonight, and I'll speak for a while on the subject, faith in Jericho. Now, Father, we come and pray for your help as we look to the Word of God, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will bless it to the hearts of your people. We pray that you might give us what you have for us from the Bible tonight. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. In this great chapter of the Word of God, this faith chapter, a chapter of faith, the Hall of Fame of the Faithful, as it's sometimes called, God has been demonstrating to us the reality and the power of faith. It's faith, we're told in this chapter, which is necessary for an individual to please God. A person gets saved by faith, and then if that person is to become the kind of Christian that God wants them to be, that person must live and operate by faith. And God has used examples from the Old Testament throughout this chapter, showing how the great people of that Old Testament age pleased him and did great exploits through and because of and by their faith. Now, the last person that God used as an example of faith before coming to our text verses tonight was Moses and the people of Israel as they crossed the Red Sea out of Egypt. After telling us of that episode, God skips forward some 40 years to the episode at Jericho. Now, you know that between the time the children of Israel left Egypt and the time they entered Canaan and took Jericho were 40 years wandering in the wilderness. The reason God doesn't mention anything about those 40 years is because they were years that were brought about by and characterized by unbelief and lack of faith. Israel, Moses had led them to Kadesh Barnea, and there was supposed to be the jumping off place from where they would go into the promised land, but when they got there, they refused to obey God and go into the land of Canaan. Thus, God allowed them to fall in the wilderness. Only two people who came out of Egypt, 20 years old and older, who went into the promised land were Caleb and Joshua, who were men of faith. And so then, in this chapter of faith, God skips that entire 40-year period of national unbelief and carnality and wandering, and goes to the Battle of Jericho, where there's given a twofold exhibition of faith in verses 30 and 31. In verse 30, we see faith demonstrated on the part of the Israelites. In verse 31, we see faith demonstrated on the part of a citizen of Jericho. In verse 30, we see faith demonstrated by the captors. In verse 31, we see faith demonstrated by one of the captives. In verse 30, we see faith outside the city of Jericho. In verse 31, we see faith inside the city of Jericho. In verse 30, we see faith conquering. In verse 31, we see faith protecting. In verse 30, we see faith on the attack. In verse 31, we see faith on the defense. In verse 30, we see faith in the character as it's mentioned in verse 33 as subduing kingdoms. In verse 31, we see faith in the character that's mentioned in verse 34 as escaping the edge of the sword. And so, in other words, these two verses show faith which took place at the same place, at the same point in time, and yet it was demonstrated by people in vastly different circumstances, and it's shown forth from two different perspectives. And so I want us tonight to see these two verses and especially dwell upon the characteristics set forth by the faith spoken of in these verses. So notice with me, first of all, in verse 30, the persistence of faith. The verse said, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down, but don't miss this part of the verse, after they were compassed about 7 days. Now you can read the story of Jericho in Joshua chapter 2 and Joshua chapter 6. Jericho was a fortress city, a great walled city, and the Lord gave Joshua an unusual battle plan, and the battle plan was that all the men of Israel were to walk around the city of Jericho once for 6 days with the Ark of the Covenant going before them and 7 priests with 7 ram's horns going before it. But then when the 7th day came, they were to march around the wall 7 times on that day, and then the priests would blow the trumpets, the men would shout, and the walls would fall down, and the city would be taken by the people of Israel. Now that's a strange battle plan for defeating and taking a city. It's good to remember that God's ways are not always our ways. He doesn't always operate according to human expectation and according to human wisdom. And that's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And so God gives this unusual battle plan to Joshua. Now, think of how strange it must have sounded to the men of Israel. Joshua, what's our battle plan? We're going to walk around the walls. Imagine some military leader giving his men that kind of a battle plan in this day and time. Well, we'd think he's crazy. And that's probably what a good number of the people of Israel thought about Joshua. But the difference is that Joshua was operating on faith based on the Word of God. Joshua, do you really think that we're going to win this victory and take this city by walking around the walls? Yes, I do. Well, why do you think that, Joshua? Because it's what God told me to do, he might have answered. And so, but the thing that I want to stress is the persistence shown by the people of Israel. They had a faith which motivated them to continue and not to give up until they achieve their objective. That's why the verse says that it was by faith that the walls of Jericho fell down, but it was after they were compassed about 7 days. These people had to have the kind of faith that caused them to go back and continue and persist until they were rewarded. Now, they marched around the walls on the 1st day and then went back to their camp. If they had stopped then, the walls would never have fallen. They marched around the walls on the 2nd day and then went back to their camp. If they had stopped then, the walls would never have fallen. They marched around the walls on the 3rd day and then went back to their camp. If they had stopped then, the walls would never have fallen. They marched around the walls the 4th day, went back to their camp. If they had stopped then, the walls would never have fallen. They marched around the walls On the fifth day, went back to their camp. If they had stopped then, the walls would never have fallen. They marched around the walls on the sixth day. If they had stopped then, the walls would never have fallen. But on the seventh day, they went around those walls seven times. They stopped, the priests blew the trumpets, the men shouted, and down came the walls. I'm saying they had to have the kind of faith that caused them to go back and continue and persist until they were rewarded, until they had accomplished the objective that they were trying to accomplish. May I say that that's the kind of faith they needed, and that's the kind of faith we need. The kind that just keeps on keeping on, even if we don't get what we're seeking immediately. Now, let's apply this thought of persistent faith in a couple of areas where the Bible applies it. First of all, the area of prayer. Faith in prayer is having the confidence that even if God doesn't answer right away, we'll keep on praying until He does. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." Now you probably know that the word ask and the word seek and the word knock are in what they call the durative sense. In other words, it means ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. It's in the eternal present. It means ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. And it takes faith to pray like that. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, Jesus spake a parable to them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. But it takes faith to pray like that, because unbelief whispers in our ear, "Give up. God's not listening. Quit praying." But faith says, "Keep on praying even if you don't get the answer right now, and God promises to answer." Now, John Rice was a great man of prayer and wrote some great books on prayer. And he had an interesting thought about something. And let me tell you what it was. John Rice said, based on the promise that God makes, if a Christian persists in prayer about a certain matter, God is obligated to do one of two things. Number one, answer the prayer by giving the Christian what he or she's asking for. Or number two, make it clear to the Christian that he doesn't want the Christian to have what he's asking for, and thereby change the Christian's prayer. And he used Paul as an example in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul talked about the fact that he had a thorn in the flesh, apparently some physical infirmity that was a real trouble to him. And Paul said that he prayed three times for God to remove it from him. Here Paul was. He prayed once, "Lord, would you take away this thorn in the flesh?" But God didn't take it away. Well, Paul understood the matter of persistence in prayer. If you don't get something immediately, keep on asking. And so he asked a second time, "Lord, remove this thorn in the flesh." But God didn't remove it. So he asked a third time. God still didn't remove it. And evidently at that point, the Lord showed Paul, "It's not my will to take it away." And so Paul changed his prayer, and he says in that passage where he talks about it that he would rather glory in his infirmities, because it was in his weakness that the Lord could show forth his strength. If God hadn't changed Paul's prayer, he would have had to answer the prayer based on Matthew 7:7, "Ask, keep on asking, and it shall be given you." And so, I'm simply saying, Christian, is there something that you've been praying for, and you're about to quit praying because God hasn't answered yet? Don't quit. Keep on praying unless He makes it absolutely clear that you're not supposed to have it, and he changes your prayer. I've told many times the story of George Mueller and how George Mueller was praying for five men to be saved. After praying for them every day for 5 years, two of them got saved. 5 more years went by, another one of them got saved. 15 years after that, one more got saved. 27 years later, after Mueller had already died and gone to heaven, the last one of those five got saved. That last one George Mueller had prayed for every day for 52 years. And so, persistence in prayer. And then the Bible talks about this in the matter of service. How many times have we stopped doing something because we didn't get the results we wanted right away? But Galatians 6 and verse 9 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap," but there's an if connected to it, "if we faint not." And so God guarantees that if we keep going in our Christian service, we will see some results. And so the Israelites, they kept walking around the wall. I mean, after the first day, I would imagine that the people of Jericho were guarding the walls and whatnot, thinking, what are they going to do? And they watched them march around the walls to go back to camp and looked at each other. And the people of Israel probably looked at each other as well. The second, third, fourth, fifth. By the time the sixth day got here and I'd marched around the walls once every day for 6 days, I'd start wondering, "Joshua, you sure you got this thing right?" But Joshua had it right, and when they did what God said and kept at it until they finished what he said, then they got the result that God had said they would get, the persistence of faith. And then secondly, notice in verse number 31, the power of faith. "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace." Rahab's one of the most interesting characters in the Bible to me. Rahab was a harlot. I love the commentators, especially the old ones. They didn't want to admit that Rahab actually was what God says. In fact, I think practically every time God mentions her name, he points out she had been a harlot. That's pretty easy for me to understand, you know. But you read these old commentaries, they'll tell you how, well, that she was really just an innkeeper. And I know what kind of inn she kept, too. But she was a harlot whose house was on the city wall of Jericho. When the people of Israel sent in the two spies, she protected the spies. She had heard what God had done to other nations, and it stirred a faith in her heart that God would also give Jericho to Israel. And so she acted on the faith that she had in her heart, hid the spies, threw in her lot with the people of God, and was spared judgment and became an ancestress of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rahab is a great type of a sinner who gets saved and has their life changed by the power of faith. For example, number one, Rahab was a sinner. Again and again, it's pointed out that she was a harlot. Could I mention and remind you that you're a sinner as well, as I am, as all of us are, as everybody you'll ever see is? All have sinned. Rahab was a sinner. Number two, she was under condemnation. See, the city of Jericho, God had already given the word to the people of Israel that Jericho was to be destroyed. And so Rahab, living there in that city, was under the condemnation that the city was under. But thirdly, she heard and believed the word of God. She heard about how God had taken Israel out of Egypt across the Red Sea on dry ground. She heard what had happened to Sihon and Og, the kings over on the east side of the Jordan River, who had come out to battle against Israel and had been defeated and destroyed by Israel. She heard and believed the word of God. And then fourthly, she acted on her faith. She hid the spies and asked for their protection. Number five, she was protected from judgment by the scarlet thread. Remember that? The spies had a scarlet or red-colored, blood-colored piece of cloth, and they said, tie this in your window and leave it there, and that'll be the signal to us that that's where your house is. Well, it was scarlet for a reason. They didn't pick a blue one or a purple one or something like that. They picked a red one, a blood red one, because it's a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ behind which we find refuge and safety. And number six, her life was changed. She became a part of God's chosen nation and was in the ancestral line of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew chapter 1. A great demonstration of the power of God that's released in a person's life when they put their faith in Jesus Christ. It changed a harlot into one of the greatest women in the Bible. And may I say that God has that same power today. And if you're here tonight and you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and God will save you and God will do for you what he did for Rahab in the salvation of your soul. Faith is your faith in Christ, and are you as a Christian being persistent in your faith? Father, would you bless now these simple thoughts that we've tried to bring forth from the Word of God tonight. We pray that you'll help us to follow the examples that you've given to us in this great chapter of the Bible. And now our heads are bowed and our eyes